in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, futures finished the December contract in the soft red winter wheat pit at 0.75 cents lower, 6.44 and a half the settlement price. The March at 6.84 down a half, and May wheat at 7.08 and a half down 0.75 cents. In Kansas City, lead option December for the hard red at 7.09 and a half down 0.75 cents. December corn today, 5.20 and 0.75 cents down 21. March at 5.34 and 0.75 cents, 21 cents lower as well. May futures 5.42 down 20 and a half, and July a settlement price at $5.45 and 0.75 cents down 20 cents on the afternoon. December corn futures finished the day at 4.91, down 17 and a half cents. Soy complex now. Soybean futures January contract $12 a penny and a half, down 40 and a half cents. March at 12.09, down 40 and a quarter. And the May at 12.10, down 38 and a half. July soybeans 12.12, down 38 cents. Next year's November contract at $11.25 and 0.75, down 34 and 1/4. December bean meal at $3.25.80, down $9.20. December bean oil at $48.96, down $1.90, or down $1.96 on the afternoon. Mercantile exchange, live cattle futures, 101.45 in the December contract, up 65 cents. January feeders at 117.40, up $1.35, and December lean hogs at $69.12.5. Finished the day 47.5 cents higher. The February contract there at 76.85, up 105. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting and take a look at the Cattle on Feed report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $81.60, down 25 cents for the day. The ethanol at $2.10¼¢, down 5¼¢. Natural gas at $4.16¢, 15¼¢ higher. December heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.27¹¢. Up 2 cents on the afternoon, rather down 2 cents on the afternoon, and the gold futures at $1,352.20 an ounce, finished 70 cents lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,190, just about 9 points higher, and the dollar at 78.5 is currently down 0.11. The CRB index at 298.89 is down 3.62 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the immediate area in Urbana-Champaign. The National Weather Service says the skies this afternoon should be sunny, a high near 53 degrees. It'll be breezy out, south-southwest winds between 14 and 20 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. Partly sunny, rather cloudy this evening. A low of 34 degrees, southwest winds at 11 miles an hour. They'll become southeast. Winds could gust as high as 16. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. A high near 55 degrees, calm winds out of the east, southeast at 4 to 7. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 44. South-southeast winds at 8 to 10. And Sunday should be partly sunny. A high near 63 degrees. It'll be breezy. South winds at 11 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 26. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, a low of 53. And Monday, a 30% chance of showers will persist. Mostly cloudy and a breezy high of 66 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel, Illinois State Climatologist, right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Maggie Robesky in Morris at 815-941-3725. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, doing great, Todd. Thank you.
I'm doing very well after, oh, man, a busy 3 weeks. I've been on the road a lot. Glad to be back in the saddle. But every time I come back, it seems something has happened in the marketplace. And I think the last 3 days have been pretty jerky across the board in Chicago. Tell me what's been taking place these last 3 days and why.
Well, I think the midweek support came when mostly the technicals held. I think that's probably the best thing that happened for the market midweek, Todd, was technicals held after the disappointment that no Argentine-Chinese corn deal was struck. We also had, I think, the beginnings of the market starting to feel a little bit more secure, that they had priced in a lot about the Chinese potential for price controls and rate hike, and they were starting to look more, I think, at the micro fundamentals of the wheat and the weather there and the potential export demand. I think to kind of sum up all week this week for me, I felt like Tuesday night's overnight trade and those lows of like 509 in December corn and 1175 in January beans, those are major, major support levels now, I think both chart-wise and psychologically, that if we can hold those levels going into next week's shortened trade, holiday week trade, I think that would do a lot to kind of stem the tide here, and maybe we'd even find some short covering going into the Thanksgiving holiday, because we took off another 3.7% this week in wheat, 5.3% in beans, and 2.5% in corn. So we've taken a lot off the charts and off the gains here of the last month and a half.
Yeah, I think it might be important to note maybe, and I'll bet you've been looking at this, the weekly trade difference in the corn. Actually, we're down less than we were Friday to Friday anyway. You get less than we were actually today. We're off, what, for Friday to Friday, 13 and a quarter of a cent in the nearby December, 18 and a quarter in next year's contract, and we were down 21 cents and, 17 and a half respectively. So the corn market, while it was off, held better than maybe you might have thought if you were just looking at today's market price.
I think that's exactly right. We were higher on the wheat going into the end of the Globex trade last night. I think there's two things that the corn really have gone for them. Every day I get up and I look and see what the Dalian futures closed at, and today they closed at 805. We're talking about still near a record high Chinese corn price, and as long as that stays up at that level, I think that encourages the corn to stay at a certain premium in the Chicago Board of Trade. The other thing that the corn, I think, certainly has going for it more this week than it did last week was the return of the wheat market. Even though wheat was down more than corn for the week, the wheat held up the best in the last 3 days of trade. And it's really interesting because one of the biggest things that I think hit the markets that maybe the trade didn't really appreciate yet was that Egypt came in and bought a slew of our wheat on Thursday. And Egypt, in terms of year-to-date commitments, in terms of exports, they've gone from number 7 last year to number 3 this year. And they may even be able to end up being our number 2 buyer of wheat in this marketing year. And I think, historically, whenever you get the Egyptians on your side and they're buying wheat, the world's pretty much run out, you know, because the Egyptians tend to buy ours last. And I think between that and the Southern Plains weather, the wheat market really can give some support to the corn. Now, having said that, the wheat-corn spread took a hit until today, and you know, you could literally see wheat maybe jump 30 or 40 cents and corn not necessarily do much in the beginning. But I think once the wheat starts to roll, I think the corn can really catch up with it.
I suppose those are a direct result of the drought in the Black Sea area. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And the global buyers that I talk to continue to tell me that Europe is extremely tight on wheat and corn. And I think that's where the Argentine-Chinese business deal that was being rumored on Sunday night's trade and throughout the course of Monday is still something to watch, because if China would come in and book 5, 6, 7, 8 million tons of Argentine corn, that essentially would knock the Argentines out of the running for Egyptian wheat, Egyptian corn needs, European corn needs, and European wheat needs. And so I think that's where the domino effect can happen, and that's where corn still has some upside potential here. I don't think that this market is all said and done with. I think the key, too, this week was if you looked at cotton, rice, bean oil, and sugar, that the food and fiber commodities really took it on the chin the hardest when we talked about China having price controls and slowing their economy down. And that makes sense because they're the most elastic. So they would be the ones to first rebound if the all clear was kind of signaled in China.
Well, I was down south. They were pretty excited about $1.50 cotton, but I haven't. What did that market do?
Well, it was down, I think, 3 or 4% again this week. And, it's like I talked to a client in Texas. We were talking about how much you could make, $700, $800, $900 an acre on irrigated cotton this year instead of wheat, and that's if you locked in the price a week and a half ago. And I think the cotton plantings are still very much up in the air, and that brings back to the issues with the Informa numbers and anybody else that puts them out, including me, is we got to be very, very sensitive to this recent price action, shifting acres back around again.
Okay, go back to one news item, and I want to talk about China and Argentina and the corn. Because I was traveling so much and I didn't quite follow everything, I saw the announcement come out from Argentina that they may have booked a deal with China. And then I saw what I thought was a confirmation in news from China that, yes, indeed, they did plan to buy corn from Argentina. But is that simply the fact that they didn't do it yet that was the problem? Is that the confirmation that hasn't come that has worried, or did the whole deal fall apart somewhere along the lines?
I think the whole deal got ahead of itself because the Argentine and Chinese agriculture ministers were getting together to specifically talk about beans and cattle, from what my knowledge was. They were going to talk about corn, but the process of getting corn approved is being talked about being 6 months, 9 months, a year, because of the sanitary GM, phytosanitary issues that China's put up against Argentina. That's what they started to talk about, and I think some people jumped the gun thinking that China was so far out of corn, their supplies were so tight that they were going to just jump and buy it and skip the process of talking and then opening the dialogue up, and I think that was a real letdown, as was the issue with EPA today, that the news wires let go, that the EPA may announce as early as this afternoon that they're going to hold back on testing for those 2001-2006 vehicles for E15. And so it kind of adds and lends support and credence to the idea that this, since the midterm elections, the tone and sense in Washington is not nearly as agriculture-friendly as we would want it to be, and we may have to go into the new Congress, which is supposed to be even stricter with the new, you know, money tightness and the fiscal responsibility being the hallmark of this new Congress. I think that's where the corn market really did get hit pretty hard today on several levels. So,
did you get the cattle and feed numbers out?
Yeah, sure did. No big surprises. Placements were at 101%. That's 1% bigger than the trade was thinking. Marketing's right on the money at 99. On feed November 1, 102.8, right on the money as far as, 103, right. Average of 102.8. On feed was a little high, but, you know, the cattle like this EPA ethanol delay, and we've got colder weather on the way, so I don't think there's anything specifically in this report that would cause any profit-taking.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.